Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Of course, make sure you are checking out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Tons of great content out there for you. We've got a weekly members-only Q&A. We're going to have some draft-only content coming out on day three of the draft. There's going to be a ton of different stuff. You get a new episode commercial-free every week. You get every episode released early. There's a ton of stuff, so make sure to go check those out. But today, we are going to jump right in because this is draft season, and we know that Green Bay has a variety of different positional targets that they're going to be going through in this draft. We know they're going to do their best player available thing, as they should. The draft is not for filling needs. It's for finding the best players. But we know that safety, off-ball linebacker, offensive line, running back, like they have some potential needs on this team that need to be addressed. But as we go into draft season, as fans of the team, I think it's really important that we understand the roster as it is to understand just how much of a need something actually is. If we go and look at, let's say, Anthony Johnson Jr., and we look back at his tape from last year and we realize, oh, actually, he was surprisingly really good. All right, maybe that's less of a need. You know, we've looked at some of the very under-the-radar players like Christian Young at linebacker who could maybe fill a special teams role. We've done a variety of different things. But it's still really important that we look at all the different sort of options that Green Bay has to get that better understanding of who they might need to target come draft time. So today, with that in mind, we are specifically going to be looking at off-ball linebacker and even more specifically be looking at one Isaiah McDuffie, who as of right now finds himself in a very prominent role within this Packers defense. If they were playing a game this weekend, they are not playing a game this weekend. They have some time. They could trade for a veteran. They could draft a bunch of players. They could find a hidden gem in undrafted free agency, They could do a variety of different things. They could still try to scour the free agent market after the draft. We'll see. Either way, I would expect some pretty significant numbers to be added to that linebacker room at some point, probably three different players at least. And again, that could be a first round pick and two undrafted free agents. That could be a veteran, a second round pick and a seventh round pick. We don't know, but there are going to be bodies that are added to that room. But as of right now, Isaiah McDuffie finds himself as linebacker two within this defense. If you look at the Packers depth chart as we speak, Quay Walker is your linebacker one, Isaiah McDuffie is two, Eric Wilson is likely your three, Christian Welch is your four, and then Christian Young is your five. That's all they have at off-ball linebacker. So like I said, three players probably at minimum going to get added to that room. Just the question becomes, are they added towards the back of the roster? Are they added after Quay and McDuffie? Or are they bringing in some real legitimate competition to maybe be number two, number three, and maybe even kick McDuffie down to that linebacker number four? That's what we don't know. But what we need to understand is who Isaiah McDuffie is as a player, what he's done over the course of his three seasons in the NFL, what he can be moving forward, and what happens if Isaiah McDuffie is linebacker number two. So today, let's take a look at that. Now, what I want to start with is Isaiah McDuffie's profile coming out of college. We're going to do a full breakdown of McDuffie today. We'll look at what he was in college, what the expectation was for him coming out of college, going into the draft and becoming an NFL player. Then we'll take a deeper dive into what he's been as an NFL player so far. I went back and I watched a ton of Isaiah McDuffie tape from these past two seasons and the defensive snaps that he had. So I will break down all of that for you. But let's start with his college profile coming out of Boston College, noteworthy because he, of course, played for Jeff Hafley at Boston College in that defense for one season, had a really nice year, and then, you know, of course, has gone on to play for Green Bay, and now he gets to reunite with Jeff Hafley in this defense and has basically more experience in it than just about anyone else on the roster. So, coming out of Boston College, 6'1", 227-pound off-ball linebacker, had a 7.32 relative athletic score, was 50th percentile at height for linebacker, 20th percentile in weight, so he was a little bit undersized from a weight standpoint, had an 86th percentile bench press, 49th percentile vertical jump, 84th percentile broad jump, 86th percentile 40-yard dash, 47th percentile short shuttle, and 45th percentile three cone. So a solid but unspectacular athlete is how I would put it. And certainly there's some spectacular aspects of this. The bench press, the broad jump, the 40-yard dash, all very, very good, especially that 40-yard dash time. He's very fast for the position, but undersized with a lower weight in the 20th percentile, you would expect there to be a little bit more speed there. And again, right around average from a height standpoint, but an overall relative athletic score of 7.32, which puts him in the 73rd percentile of athleticism for linebackers. All right. From a grading standpoint, let's look at Pro Football Focus and how they graded him in college. In 2017, he played 53 snaps of defense with a 55.4 grade. In 2018, he played 470 snaps of defense, taking a significant step with a 65.6 grade. In 2019, he only played 186 snaps with a 56.0 grade. And then his final year in college, he played 727 snaps with an abysmal 39.9 grade. That was his final year in college. So PFF did not like him very much coming out, especially in that final season at Boston College. From a special team standpoint, as a freshman, he played 95 special team snaps with a 55.4 grade, 112 snaps his sophomore season for a 58.7, only 9 special teams that third season for a 61.6 grade, and his final season in college, 104 special team snaps with a 61.2 grade. Here was Lance Zierlein's scouting report for Isaiah McDuffie coming out of college. McDuffie plays with a palpable energy and rarely gears down until the whistle blows. He's undersized, but is at his best playing inside. That's where his recognition, talent, and instincts take over and allow him to race to run lanes ahead of the block. He pursues with leverage, but has the burst to accelerate and attack when it's time to finish. His full tilt playing style will lead to occasional issues with pursuit angles and being out of balance as a tackler. He's feisty, but takes time to free himself from blockers and was ineffective when asked to drop into coverage. He has the ability to become a quality backup with core special teams value. Lance Zierlein, tip of the cap, you pretty much nailed, especially that final line, ability to become a quality backup with core special teams value. That's basically what McDuffie has been so far. His strengths, these were again from Lance Zierlein in his scouting report coming out of college. Coach's son with outstanding work ethic on and off the field. Toughness and intensity are trademarks. Relentless chase and tackle energy. Recognizes formations and tendencies from formations. Beats running back to the run lane in some cases. Rapid downhill trigger to attack the ball carrier or pass catcher. Pursues with leverage but has bursts to find his prey. Agility and GPS to work around interior traffic. Upper body power to fling guards off of him. Little wasted motion to plant and drive down to the throw. So those were his positives. Here were his weaknesses per Lance Zierlein coming out of college. Smallish as an interior linebacker, takes chances that get him stuck in traffic, must learn to slip blocks and stay clean, too small to separate quickly once the block gets to him, needs discipline to play his role and not search for every single tackle, momentum gets away from him as an open field tackler, off balance tackle tries turn into broken arm tackles, overestimates speed on extended pursuit angles, and ineffective playing pass from zone. So those are the strengths and the weakness and the overall breakdown from Lance Zierlein coming out of college. And I would argue he pretty much nailed that one. I think you hit the strengths and some of the speed and his ability to recognize and play the defense and some of those weaknesses where specifically, and we'll talk about this more in just a little bit at an NFL level, a little bit smaller, gets stuck in traffic, gets caught on blocks from time to time. We'll go through all of that more in just a moment. Then, of course, he gets to the NFL. Here are his grades, both per myself and per PFF. We'll start with PFF. In 2021, they charted him as one defensive snap with a 60.0 grade. I'm 99.9% sure that was a special team snap that turned into a fake. Usually they grade those as a defensive snap if it's an obvious fake and they like get into a formation. So I grade those, or I consider those special team snaps, so don't grade those. So I didn't grade that one, but they had one graded play for him on defense with a 60.0 grade. He played 211 snaps of special teams with a 43.0 grade. In 2022, played 175 snaps of defense with a 58.6 grade, 261 snaps of special teams with an 88.5 grade. So that is his best thing he's done on anything from a PFF standpoint was his special teams in 2022 with an 88.5 grade. And then in 2023, played by far his most snaps in the NFL, 551, had a 57.1 grade, 222 snaps of special teams with a 67.7 grade. So again, go back to Lance Zierlein's scouting report, backup caliber player with special teams ability. That's what we've seen basically from Isaiah McDuffie so far. Here were my grades on him. Again, in 2021, I did not have any grades because that one play was, I believe, a special team snap that turned into a quote-unquote defensive snap for PFF. In 2022, on those 175 snaps, I had a negative 0.85 grade, which is almost exactly what a 58.6 would be for PFF. Their average is 60. Mine is zero, that starting point. So a little bit down for them is a 58.6. A little bit down for me is a negative 0.85. In 2023, on those 551 snaps, I had a negative 1.25 grade, which for PFF, a 57.1, is almost identical with that amount of snaps. So PFF and I were pretty much in lockstep that this was a slightly below average NFL linebacker, replacement level-ish, with some, again, legitimate special teams ability. Although, again, I did not grade the special team snaps. Pro Football Focus did, but we've seen Isaiah McDuffie show up on special teams on a variety of different occasions over the course of the past couple seasons. From a statistical standpoint, in 2023, he played in 16 games, had 8 starts, 1 pass defended, 86 tackles, 1 half sack, 5 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits. That was the stat line for McDuffie. No interceptions, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no anything like that. So lacking in those impact style plays this past season. Here was the better breakdown from PFF in 2023. Had a 57.1 defensive grade overall, a 59.6 run defense grade, a 77.1 tackling grade, so that tackling grade was really good, 64.4 pass rush grade, and 55.5 coverage grade. That's how they graded him overall. They had him at 4 pressures and a 6.5% missed tackle percentage, which is really, really good for basically anyone, but especially for an inside linebacker. In coverage, he was targeted 33 times per PFF, gave up 26 receptions, 78.8% completion percentage, 238 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 pass breakup, a 96.7 rating, and had two penalties in coverage during that time. So that's all of this statistical analysis. Let's go into some of the film from 2022 and 2023 as I went back and broke down a ton of the film, watched a lot of stuff from McDuffie over these past two seasons, and here's what I came up with. The first thing I'll say, and if you want to look at it, I posted a video on Twitter of about, I want to say, 10 plays where there is some really, really big time stuff on tape. You will see him knife into the backfield and make tackles for losses. There's a specific play on a little dump down to, I think it was one of the Lions' speedy running backs where he goes to the outside and McDuffie just uses that incredible speed to completely stay with him to get sideline to sideline and make the play along the sidelines. Spectacular play. There's a crossing route from the Minnesota Vikings where I think it might've been Hockenson, but I have to go back and look. I was more focused on McDuffie, but there's a tight end coming across the middle. McDuffie goes right along with him and bats away the play, and that's his pass defense that he had there. There are other plays where Saquon Barkley play, where he reads it perfectly, shoots the gap, goes into the backfield and tackles Barkley for, I want to say, 3-4 yard loss on the play. There are some really, really impressive plays. There's a play that goes all the way to the outside where he sees it, analyzes it, and then screams to the sideline with a perfect angle to cut it off and make a perfect tackle along the sidelines. There's another one where they do, I think, a little pop pass. I think this was against the Raiders, and McDuffie screams, like recognizes the play, screams to the opposite sideline and makes that play. Like just some really, really impressive stuff when you want to go and look at his high level play. The issue is that you didn't see a ton of that over his, what was it, you know, 726 snaps over the past two seasons. Those were basically the 10 best plays that I saw over those 726 snaps. Now, it's not a horrible thing that he's got some really good plays on tape. That's a great thing. And he shows that he has some great capabilities to make those style of plays. Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, PrizePicks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with PrizePicks. PrizePicks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off, but I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my Prize Picks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt, and if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me, it's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What you will notice on a lot of those plays is he was kept clean on a lot of those plays, meaning he has a free shot, meaning he's taking a gap and shooting it and going into the backfield, or he's not blocked by a pulling guard and is able to get sideline to sideline and go make a play. It becomes a lot more complicated for him at his size, both height and weight. When he starts getting out against pulling guards, even tight ends gave him problems in the running game. And when he gets engaged, he struggles. Now, what you will see from him from time to time is when he gets engaged, there are times where he disengages and even throws that player to the side. But unfortunately, it happens too slow. And what will happen is he'll engage with that player, and then the running back gets past him, and then he disengages and throws that player away. But it's too late, and that running back has already gone past him, or somebody else has already made the play. And those are the sort of things that you see, and sometimes you get with an undersized, inside linebacker or off-ball linebacker. So these were my overall notes as I went back and, again, watched a ton of McDuffie from these past two seasons. Struggles to hold up at the point of attack against bigger offensive linemen. And again, it's not just bigger offensive linemen. I should probably just alleviate that part of it overall. It's offensive linemen and even sometimes tight ends. If he's matched up, like if you will see some of the bigger, more physical linebackers in this league where a fullback or a tight end or an offensive lineman, especially like a smaller offensive lineman, pull out and they will get to that lineman or tight end or fullback and they will jack them and it is a violent collision and that linebacker has the ability to disengage and go make a play. You don't see that level of violence from an Isaiah McDuffie. You don't see it from a Quay Walker either very often, but they don't have that type of really that type of player right now. And it's not something that's necessarily in Isaiah McDuffie's repertoire. He takes some poor angles, and he will be slow to react to plays. I mentioned that play where it's a pop pass, and he makes a great read and gets to the sidelines and makes that play. There are a handful of other plays where it's a misdirection play, a pop pass, a reverse, a screen, something, and McDuffie is going in the complete opposite direction of the play. Now, to be fair, some of those might have been assignment-driven. It might have been his job to go with a certain player and, you know, just going through and watching the tape and seeing what McDuffie is capable of. That's not something that I'm necessarily concerning myself with those plays. But there are other plays where you can very much tell he's not in the right spot at the right time, especially on and really almost directly on misdirection plays. Those give him some issues, and you will see him start going in the exact opposite direction of where he is supposed to be on the play. Next, his speed legitimately shows up on tape. Well, I don't think many people, when you say Isaiah McDuffie, you think unadulterated speed or like somebody that has this real ridiculous quickness, but he does. He is fast. He tested fast coming out of the draft, and that speed shows up on tape. Go watch that highlight film I posted on Twitter, and you will see some real legitimate speed from Isaiah McDuffie. That shows up on special teams, that shows up on defense, and is something that's going to continue to serve him well. I even will say I didn't quite recognize just how fast he was, but going back and watching him play after play, you pick it up pretty quick and are able to see just how quick he is at that linebacker position. As I mentioned before, blocked far too easily by tight ends, and that's something he's going to have to get better at, especially if he gets a legitimate starting role in the NFL. I also thought he had some really big missed sack opportunities. Now, the two I'm about to tell you are pretty good at football and pretty good at avoiding those type of sacks, but he had two plays specifically in 2022 against Jalen Hurts and against Josh Allen where he had the ability to make a big play and get a big sack, and he couldn't get them to the ground. like I said, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts sort of make a habit of that against a variety of really good players. So it's going to happen from time to time. But he did have some of those misses on tape. It wasn't just those two. The Josh Allen one in particular, he's got Josh Allen dead to rights. Josh Allen escapes. It ends up being a huge play, and he's able to find a big play downfield where those are those where on that scenario, in that situation, I'm not defending Joe Barry here, but Joe Barry had a perfect play call. McDuffie's got Josh Allen. It's going to be a sack, and instead it ends up a huge play for the Buffalo Bills. Those are things that he needs to do a better job of converting on. From a lateral agility standpoint, especially on the second level as a linebacker, he will get his feet caught and he has a trouble going, like making those really quick change of direction adjustments. More often than not, if a running back gets him one-on-one in the open field, or if like somebody catches a check down and makes a little juke, McDuffie's not going to be able to stick with it. And that shows up on tape a lot. And that's something that you have to have some concern over. This is a passing league where you're trying to avoid all of the big deep throws down the field. Well, that's going to lead to a lot of checkdowns, and you have to make sure that you are getting there fast, that you are not allowing somebody to get by you, not allowing somebody to juke you out, and getting them to the ground sooner rather than later so they don't turn that into an explosive play. And that's been an issue for McDuffie. In right there too, he gets his feet stuck in mud on the second level. And again, he's waiting rather than attacking. And sometimes that's like a double-edged sword because you can attack and be too aggressive. You can wait and be too passive. I don't know that it's something that he always has a great feel for, but he's got to do a little bit better job of making sure that he's breaking down and making that play and making it so that those players, as dynamic as they are, aren't getting big explosive plays out of it. He's on the ground too much, and that's where we talk about going up against bigger offensive linemen. When he gets matched up, he just ends up on the ground far too often, and as we always say, you're not going to make very many plays when you're on the ground. He's extremely assignment sure. This is one that Lance Zierlein pointed out in his scouting report that in college he struggled with. I think he's done a great job of this in the NFL. He knows his role. He fills his gaps. He's assignment sure. And he's almost always where he's supposed to be. Save for, like I said, on some of those misdirection plays that can give him some issues and some confusion. But in a straight up play that doesn't have quite as much misdirection, he's almost always where he's supposed to be. So that showed up. While he didn't have a ton of missed tackles overall, and that tackle percentage is good, it did show up in some inopportune times. And as I mentioned earlier, due to some of that lack of mobility and agility, there are times where he doesn't have a missed tackle because he just doesn't even get his hands on the player. So there are some of that as well where that tackling percentage by PFF might be high, but I think there's some missed opportunities on tape from him just not even getting to the spot that he needs to get to. As mentioned, he gets fooled by misdirection a bit too easily, and they basically don't play him on obvious passing downs. So they're using him more as like a baseline backer, somebody that is going to be more, you know, run defense with some maybe pass options mixed in. But once it gets to a more obvious passing down, they pretty much take him off the field. My biggest issue with Isaiah McDuffie, and there's a lot of stuff to like, there really, really is. He's by no means a bad player. This is not somebody that you get on the field and is Royce Newman-esque, where you're just like, this is going to be a nightmare and you're frustrated the entirety of the game because this player is just not able to do their job at all. That is not Isaiah McDuffie to me. This is also not a legitimate, real, true starting caliber player. And we'll kind of get to that, but where my issue lies with McDuffie is that I don't personally believe that he's a true plus at any one thing. I think he's too small and not physical enough to be a plus run defender. He's fine, but he's not great at it. He's not instinctual enough, and he's not fluid enough, and he's just not skilled enough in coverage to consistently play in coverage. He's not a great blitzer. As I mentioned, he missed some of those opportunities against a Josh Allen and a Jalen Hurts in some games and missed some other opportunities as well. And more importantly, I don't necessarily feel like he's a perfect fit next to Quay Walker either. So you have this player that does some things well, shows up some flashes on tape, has great speed, and is not somebody that, again, you're going to be pulling your hair out when he's on the field. But I don't necessarily think he's good to great at any one thing. I don't think he's terrible at any of it necessarily either, but it's probably like a slight negative at pretty much everything that he tries to do, which leaves you always wanting for a little bit more. Now, on the plus side, as I mentioned, he has played in Jeff Hafley's defense, so that is going to be a huge plus for Isaiah McDuffie. He's in a contract year, so we are probably, hopefully, fingers crossed, about to get the very best version of Isaiah McDuffie. He is, if nothing changes, about to get a real legitimate opportunity. Even if they add one more linebacker, you got to figure there's going to be some injuries. You got to figure they're going to do some three linebacker stuff. And he should be set for, at minimum, at least a role kind of like he had a season ago. And he's still very much a very good core special teamer for this team as well. This is not the question of, like, is Isaiah McDuffie good enough to make the 53? That's not the conversation we're having here. The question is, can he be a legitimate good number two linebacker? And how I would define it, Isaiah McDuffie's ideal role on this Green Bay Packers team, in my opinion, is that number four linebacker spot. That's ideal. I'm not saying it's necessarily realistic, but that's ideal. If he could be your number four linebacker, meaning you've got Quay Walker and two other starting caliber linebackers in front of him, and he can be your number four, being a core special teamer and key backup piece to the linebacker group, that's exactly where you want him to be. And he has a ton of value, in my opinion, at that spot as somebody who can fill in at a variety of those linebacker positions, come in and you're not going to feel like, oh my goodness, he's in the game. Now what are we going to do? He can fill in, again, for any of those players, and he can be a core special teamer in the meantime. There's a lot of value there for Isaiah McDuffie. I feel like an acceptable role for Isaiah McDuffie is the number three linebacker spot. 15% of the time, they might be in a three linebacker plus defense. I feel like that's a good amount of snaps for him to be on the field on defense. A lot of those are going to be more base defense situations, meaning it's going to be more rundowns or at least some run pass option stuff and not obvious passing downs. That's a acceptable / good role for Isaiah McDuffie. A little bit more of a risky role is a number two linebacker for Isaiah McDuffie. If he has to be all season long your number two linebacker, I think you're playing with fire a little bit. I don't think that's an ideal fit. And like I said, I think you're constantly looking for an upgrade, even if it's not a nightmare. It's not something that you're constantly cursing out because Isaiah McDuffie can't play it. He'll be fine for the most part, but you're always wanting a little bit more. And there's always a little bit of a risk there. And then if he's your number one linebacker, to me, that's a little bit more of a nightmare scenario where you have to play him every single snap, obvious passing downs, and you're probably just wanting for a ton more, and you're probably putting him and your team in a bad position by doing that. So number four is ideal. Number three is good to acceptable. Number two is risky. We'll sort of wait and see. Number one, if he has to be your number one linebacker, probably a nightmare. And that's where I put it with Isaiah McDuffie. Love having him on the team. Think he's a solid player. Think he's sort of as advertised. A good, and exactly, we go back to Lance Zierlein's scouting report. A really good backup linebacker, core special teamer, that if you get him on the field, he has some pluses, he has some minuses. It's not going to be something where you're super frustrated by it, but he's that number four linebacker. That's exactly where you want him. So hopefully Green Bay is able to find a couple more players that they can get McDuffie to that number four or at least that number three role. But that's where the draft is going to come in. Extremely important. And how they add to that linebacker room moving forward is going to dictate where Isaiah McDuffie ends up on that depth chart. And the hope is that it's number three or number four and not number two and hopefully not number one. That is going to do it for me today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back tomorrow with an all new one. Of course, 365 days a year. Make sure to check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships. Shout out to our YouTube members, Mo Seda Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, and Dan Miller. See you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.